WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. 2 years ago, Colonel Fred Peck stunned the Senate Armed Services Committee during his testimony against gays serving in the military. The colonel, who had just returned from a five-month tour as Marine spokesman in Somalia, said, "If my son were to walk into a recruiter's office, it would be a recruiter's dream come true. He's 6'1", blue-eyed, blonde hair, great student. But if he were to consider joining the military, I would have to, number one, personally counsel against it, and number two, actively fight against it, because my son is homosexual." Actually, the colonel had no idea his son Scott was gay until just a few days before the testimony, when Scott revealed his secret to the family. Scott and his father had not had the closest of relationships. Scott's parents divorced when he was six, and he didn't have contact with his father again for 9 years when Scott's mother got sick and then died. Scott Peck has written about his relationship with his father in a new memoir called All American Boy. We invited Fred and Scott Peck to join us. I asked Scott what it was like, after having been in the closet for much of his life, to see his father testify that Scott was gay.
I guess I grew up always waiting for the apocalypse, and I thought it was about to happen.
What shape did you think it was going to take?
Well, my father and I had just put in, I guess, 3 or 4 years of really working hard to form some kind of relationship, because we had been such strangers to each other before that. And I just thought that that all the media attention, that his knowing that I was gay was going to just blow that all to hell. And I think that was at the forefront of my mind during all of that.
Did it?
No, it didn't. I think it made it better. And my impression is that it's just getting better and better over time.
Fred Peck, do you still oppose gays in the military?
I do, but I don't think that's really the most important thing in our relationship. Like Scott's saying, we worked hard over a number of years to get a relationship going, and to me, his sexual orientation when I learned about it was certainly not enough to derail my feelings of affection for him and where I thought we were finally going with our relationship, which had been estranged spiritually and geographically for so many years. So, you know, the fact that we happen to come together over an issue over which we disagree is kind of ironic. But if fathers and sons agreed on everything, you'd really have a scoop for NPR. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Fred Peck, do you oppose your son being gay, or do you just oppose gays serving in the military?
I certainly don't oppose my son being gay. I don't think he has any choice about it. It's like, do I oppose him being blonde or something? I think it's part of him, and it's a part of his life. He didn't choose it, elect it, or anything else. So it's not mine to accept or reject, as far as I'm concerned. Scott is my son, and he happens to be gay.
Scott, what made you tell your father that you were gay? Did it have to do with with your knowing that he was going to testify on the gay ban?
Sure. I thought that I was going to be outed one way or another. I had been feuding with a group called Queer Nation in Baltimore, and I got the strong impression from them. I felt I was getting very clear signals, although they later denied it, that I would be outed when he testified. And I just had this nightmare image of him stepping out of the courtroom and being surrounded by reporters saying, "Well, do you know that your own son is gay?" Not that reporters would ever act that way. But I thought that the pressure that would put on our relationship would certainly tear it apart. And I didn't want that to happen.
So what reaction were you expecting when you told your father?
That's a simple question, but I guess I haven't. No one's asked me that in a long time. I think I was really expecting everything to come crashing down. I had always gotten the impression from my father that he thought homosexuals should be lined up and shot. And now I guess that was a lot of bluff and bluster, or maybe his opinions have changed over the years. I don't know.
Well, let's ask. Fred Peck, did you used to think that?
I don't think I ever had that extreme of a view at all. I certainly never had any need in my own life to come to a conscious decision about relationships with gays and lesbians, because I didn't know any who were openly gay or lesbian as I was growing up or through my professional life. But I later in life, in jobs I've had since, such as I was in charge of the office in Los Angeles dealing with the entertainment industry, and I came in contact with a lot of people in the gay and lesbian community. So I don't have a negative stereotype of gay people per se. I've had to come to grips with it in a much more personal way, obviously. I had the same kind of reaction that what would my father think about it, who's now 76-year-old World War II-era Marine, and was extremely pleasantly surprised that he was very supportive and immediately wanted to call Scott and tell him that he loved him and he was going to stand by him, too, through this. So we've all been pleasantly surprised by our fathers.
So, Fred Peck, what was your reaction when your son told you that he was gay just a few days before you were going to testify in support of the ban on gays in the military?
Well, my wife is the one who broke the news to me. I got back from Somalia, and the next morning she told me I had to call back here to Washington because my presence had been requested at the Senate Armed Services Committee hearings, and I needed to talk to the Commandant of the Marine Corps' office. And she said, well, before you talk to him, I need to talk to you. And she just kind of said, well, there's no way to break this to you softly or whatever, and, you know, here it is, and came right at me with it. The immediate reaction was one of shock and surprise because Scott was the kid I knew who played football and went out with beautiful women and seemed to be the normal all-American boy, and I didn't have any inkling that he was gay. And I think, in hindsight, it was really good for me that the pressure was on, that I had to come. I didn't have a lot of time to anguish over it or think about it. I basically had to come to some quick resolution on my own about how I was going to deal with it, which was, hey, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference to me in terms of my son. It doesn't make any difference to me in terms of my professional career that I've chosen, and it's just not going to make any difference to me in terms of what I say to the Senate Armed Services Committee. It was an advantage being under the pressure to having to come to a quick decision about what to do with it.
Scott, did you consider asking your father to rethink testifying in support of the ban?
No, absolutely not. That I think in my heart of hearts, I was kind of hoping that that he would have changed his mind or that he would have chosen not to testify. But it didn't occur to me to ask him not to testify. That just didn't seem to be appropriate at all.
My guests are Scott Peck, author of the new memoir, All American Boy, and his father, Colonel Fred Peck. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Scott Peck, author of the new memoir, All American Boy, and his father, Colonel Fred Peck. The colonel testified to the Senate Armed Services Committee against gays in the military, even though his son, Scott, is gay. Colonel Peck, in your testimony, you said, I've spent 27 years of my life in the military, and I know what it would be like for my son if he went in, and it would be hell. I would be very fearful that his life would be in jeopardy from his own troops. What led you to that conclusion, that it would be really dangerous for a gay man who was openly gay to serve?
Well, combat is a very terrifying experience, and in times of terror, men and women sometimes do things that are incredibly heroic. You also see people react exactly the opposite direction with terror and with acts of cowardice, with acts of violence against innocents, atrocities that are committed. I merely pointed out the fact that I would be very fearful that people would think, well, if we got rid of that person who I mistrust because of his sexual orientation, my life would be safer, and there would be a greater assurance that I might come home alive from the battlefield. For anyone who has been in or around it, the military and in or near combat, that is a very defensible statement. I'm not proud of making it. I didn't say it meaning to convey that I thought that was a good thing at all. I think it's terrible.
Scott, what do you think of your father's point of view on gays in the military?
Well, I don't think that that society is ready at all for unqualified individuals coming into the military, or for individuals entering the military to be activists or spokespeople or to do anything that's going to break down the cohesion of the unit. Usually when I'm asked the question, you know, do you support gays in the military, I say, well, which gays? Because it depends completely on the individual. Over the past two years, 15 individuals in particular, and more, have been serving openly while their court cases are pending. In most of those cases, they've gotten along just fine. I think it's really easy to hate gays in the abstract. I know there was a time in my life when I certainly did, when I certainly did believe that all gays should be lined up and shut, even when I suspected that I might be one of them. But when I think that if a Marine finds out that his comrade, whom he has been in battle with or who he has trained with, who he has trusted his life to and vice versa, has been gay all along, it's a very different experience. And in many cases, there seems to be an almost instantaneous reversal of thinking. Of course, if I'm wrong, maybe my dad has been too good in selling the Marine Corps to me, because I really can't imagine Marines blowing each other away over a difference of opinion. But if I'm wrong, I think that every gay and lesbian service member who comes out of the closet and serves will know that is a risk that they are taking, and it's a risk that they're willing to take. And if enough gay and lesbian people die under those circumstances, maybe people will figure out who the bad guys really are.
Colonel, were there ever times in the military when you knew a man was gay and you had a And he was not out, and you had a deal with whether to turn him in or not?
No, I've had a couple of of circumstances where, going back to when I was a lieutenant, one of the men in my platoon when I was in the infantry, he came back after a night of drinking, and he sexually assaulted, it would be the terms you'd use today, one of his fellow Marines from our platoon, and not in a violent way at all. He wasn't a violent kind of a person. He thought he was responding to signals that his advances by his drunken friend would be favorably received, and friend did not react favorably, and so the young man was then determined to be, by the psychological examination was followed, to be a homosexual, and he was to be processed for administrative separation from the Marine Corps. And I literally had to protect him from the members of the platoon. It was like, you know, they'd caught a peeping Tom in the barracks.
My guests are Scott Peck, author of the new memoir, All American Boy, and his father, Colonel Fred Peck. We'll talk more in a minute. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Scott Peck and his father, Colonel Fred Peck. The colonel testified against gays in the military, even though his son Scott is gay. Scott has written a new memoir called All American Boy. Scott, I think anybody who writes a memoir says things about friends and family that the friends and family probably won't want to read. And one of the things you write about in your memoir is about how your father was in the Naval Academy when he and your mother started seeing each other, and she got pregnant, and I think it was against the rules to marry. I think it probably was against the rules to engage in relations, actually. So your parents weren't married until you were 2 years old, and then they divorced when you were six. Mm-hmm. Am I misstating things to say that there was something less than following it by the book when when your father was in the Naval Academy?
I don't think so. Maybe my father could answer that more appropriately. My impression has been that at the Naval Academy, you weren't supposed to be in a room alone with a woman, much less have fathered a child, although that's a rule that I'm very glad that he broke.
The rules are that you cannot be married or ever have been married to be a cadet or a midshipman in any of the service academies. Paternity or maternity now that women are allowed is also grounds for discharge. However, When you return from leave or during the summer, Christmas time, they make you sign a statement saying, I have not gotten married while I was on leave or vacation. They never ask you to sign a statement saying, I have not had sired any children while I was on leave or vacation. I lived for better the part of 2 years with it hanging over my head that if Scott's existence became known, I'd be kicked out of the academy, probably given a little Dixie cup white hat and sent out to the fleet to serve for a few years as a sailor, which to me was probably a fate worse than death. I'd rather have been executed. At that point, I was so gung-ho about going into the Marine Corps. It put a tremendous amount of pressure on Michelle and our relationship, and it was one that became known to her parents, who then tried to make an issue of it with the academy, but for whatever reasons, I had friends in the hierarchy at the academy who chose not to pursue it. And so I went along, but I had this sort of Damocles hanging over me for the better part of 2 years.
I by all means don't want to be trite and or cute, or I don't know what the appropriate word would be, in drawing a parallel between what my dad went through and the situation of gays in the military, although I was trained to be a minister, so I have an almost pathological tendency to draw parallels between everything and draw little sermonettes out of everything.
It is a good parallel. I agree with it.
Mm-hmm. We'll make the parallel for us.
The rule was in place, and my father broke it or bent it, and other people helped him to bend it or covered for him, and I think that it's a very good thing that happened, because it's a stupid rule, and it would have been, I think, a loss for the Marine Corps if my father had been booted out, or worse yet, booted into the Navy for just being himself, for being a human being. I think that would have had that would have been a very serious loss. And I, once again, without trying to be cute about it, I think one of the worst things about the current existing policy, as my father's example showed, I think very well, is that it's only the screw-ups that become known. It's when someone screws up, when a gay man hits on a straight man or does something inappropriate, that they are suddenly known. When someone tries to come out in an appropriate way, they are also kicked out. But the policy is sort of, it defends itself, it keeps itself going. Whereas if it were lifted and gay people and straight people were held by the same exact rules, and if even gay people were held to a higher set of standards, I would have no problem with that. I think we could easily live up to that and diffuse a lot of the potential tension that way, if given the chance.
Colonel Peck, I'm wondering if you think it's at all hypocritical to have broken certain rules when you were in the Naval Academy and to now not feel comfortable about challenging rules.
But there are a couple of differences. First of all, everybody breaks rules there. It's kind of the game. In the lexicon there, I mean, you rate what you can get away with is what they teach you. In other words, like the Spartan ethic, hiding the fox under your cloak as it eats your intestines out, if you don't get caught, and you've, even though you violated the laws, you haven't really violated the laws. Maybe that's a warped point of view. It probably is a warped center of view, point of view. But the issue is, had I been caught, I readily accepted why they had the rule, and I can understand why they don't want midshipmen to be married at the Naval Academy or to have children while they're in the Naval Academy. If you establish that rule, it would severely jeopardize, I think, the training there, because you have to understand that when you change a rule like that, you don't take it for somebody who's able to manage it and without difficulty. You change the rule for everybody, those who can handle it and those who can't, and you have a bell curve of performance and people in whatever regard. The same would go for homosexuality. I mean, I knew that if I was caught, I was going to get kicked out, and I wouldn't have argued about it. I said, "You got me, I'm gone."
Colonel Peck, you're used to dealing with the press. You're a spokesman. You're a spokesperson for the Marine Corps. Is this a completely different kind of experience for you, dealing with the press, with your son, talking about family matters, as well as gays in the military?
It's oh so easy to talk about other people's problems and foibles and mistakes and very, very difficult to talk in personal terms. I've been an extremely private person. Scott tells people that did I smoke, which I don't, not since 1987 have I smoked a cigarette. You know, those kinds of things. There are people who have known me for 20 years who didn't know that I smoked. And just those little things. Now, then we get on to the biggies. Oh, a third wife, child born out of wedlock while you were in the Naval Academy, no contact with your son for years and years and years. What kind of a person are you? Not the flattering picture of me, and I think I come across, you know, in Scott's perception as being self-centered at times, arrogant at times.
Wonderfully human is the way that...
Wonderfully human and a totally lovable person at other times. But the book has a happy ending, and we're a work in progress, and it has been good for us, as I was saying. It's been cathartic for us as a father and son, and dealing with it publicly has not been easy, but it's maybe even good in that it forced us to come to grips with things that we wouldn't have had to do otherwise.
Well, I want to thank you both for taking the time to talk with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Scott Peck's new memoir is called All American Boy.